The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill, with the North Carolina Reading Service. And this is Connect to Success. For the next half hour, I will share with you from academictips.org, timelesslife.info, guyanisonline.net, and siva.org. Today, we'll be bringing you some motivational and success stories from not only close to home, but from all over the world. Hopefully, you will think about your own situations through these stories and see how you will connect to success. Let's get started with a profile of Jeff Bishop, Program Manager, Microsoft Corporation. This is by Deborah Kendrick. You may not think that one person can be both a computer nerd and popular, but it's possible. In reflecting on his own growth and development as a programmer, Jeff Bishop describes himself as a seventh grade nerd at the Arizona School for the Blind, writing programs and figuring out how things worked. In contrast to the socially awkward, unstylish stereotype that you might think of when you hear the word nerd. However, Jeff Bishop has an irresistible, warm, and open spirit that draws other people to him. His gratitude for where life has led him is profound. When he talks about computers, he sounds like a friend describing something wonderful, and you want to know more. Today, Jeff Bishop is a program manager on the Windows accessibility team at Microsoft. The idea for this Access World article was sparked by an internet presentation Bishop gave on improvements that had been made to the Windows Narrator screen reader. If there is one tiresome statistic that everyone connected with blindness and how low vision has heard all too often, it is the 70% unemployment rate for people with visual impairments. What is it? I wonder that leads one person who is blind to a job he loves, a job where his talent is clearly respected and where he has the joy of knowing he is contributing to a product's usability for his peers. Why does he continue to be employed while other people with visual impairments do not? What are the steps that lead to success? And how can currently unemployed people with visual impairments learn from someone who has taken them? And these are all great questions that will be asked to him. His early life attitudes are, Jeff Bishop has always worked. He has always expected to have a career and earn a paycheck. His perception of the origins of his success are clear. First, growing up as a blind child, his parents encouraged him to do everything he possibly could. He rode bikes, he roller skated, he played hard and worked hard in school. His parents, he says, were absolutely involved in everything he did and encouraged him to reach higher. When a serious bout with spinal meningitis put him behind in school, requiring that he repeat the first grade, he struggled initially to learn Braille. His mom worked with him every night at the kitchen table, learning enough Braille herself to be a valuable coach. His mom's determination that he learn to read and write Braille was critical. He says as Braille has had a tremendous impact on his career. In high school and college, before we had electronic Braille, he lugged around multiple oversized volumes of Braille books. Math in particular, he says, will be impossible without Braille. Later, as Braille displays emerged, he has always used them in his work. From using that first 20-cell VersaBraille, too, to displaying boasting 80 cells or as a few as 14 Braille has been essential to Bishop's professional success. Both parents grasped every opportunity to encourage him to stretch mentally and physically. At the grocery store, his mom told him the prices of things, and he added them mentally for her, using the math tricks his dad had taught him. One day, his dad told him they were going camping. When they arrived, it turned out that the core plan was to teach Jeff to water ski. He revels in the memory, describing it as a perfect example of how his parents never treated his blindness as a dead end, but rather a prompt for finding a detour. They dug in to find workarounds for anything that he wanted to do. When he became interested in amateur radio, his dad studied theory with him. And when he became interested in computers, it was his dad who researched and found which product in the exploding field of home consumer electronics might be most accessible to a kid who couldn't see the screen. Braille makes it possible to see layout and design in a way that I can't imagine would be possible for a blind person otherwise, Bishop says. I see it as an absolutely essential tool to my job. And for those before us, Bishop's attributes success to those who built the platforms he depends on to do his work. Of course, Louis Braille, who invented the tactile reading system, and Dr. Abraham Nemeth, who invented a system for reading and writing mathematics in Braille, are all at the top of his list. He also has a long list of computer professionals, blind and sighted, who forged paths for him to follow. I owe my job today to all of the many giants who came before me, he says, rattling off names like Ted Hinter, creator of the original JAWS screen reading software for DOS and founder of the company that is now Vispero, Doug Jeffrey, formerly of GW Micro, Glenn Gordon and Eric Damery, Hinter Joyce, Clarence Whaley, GW Micro, and 1980s tech support people like Randy Knapp and Christopher Gray, Arctic and Telesensory Corps, respectively. Finally, Jeff attributes his ongoing success to the colleagues and supervisors he has had on every job who have believed in his abilities and provided reinforcement for his efforts. They say it takes a village, Jeff says, and in my case, that has been true. I have always had the support and collaboration of so many people, of all of those around me. He cites examples of colleagues getting abroad with innovative and discovering alternative methods for him to approach what could have been inaccessible computing environments. And on his career path, he states, Bishop's first computer was a Commodore 64, where Jeff cut his teeth in basic programming and accessible language and enjoyed old-style Infocom games when he wasn't studying for school. Jeff continued to study programming in high school and even partnered with schoolmates to develop a way of getting computer code output using Morse code. There were short beeps and longer beeps, he says, poking a little fun at those rudimentary beginnings. It worked well enough that he got an A in the class. Bishop also received assistance from others to read the computer screen, which laid the groundwork for his future computer and future care. He studied computers in college, but at Pima Community College and the University of Arizona, he went to work before graduating. He had married, was beginning a family, and was offered an opportunity to work as a technical writer for Interactive Information Systems. On a 20-cell Braille display in Tucson, he worked on mainframes that were on the East Coast. It was the beginning of a long and happy career working out accessibility wrinkles with the support of fellow workers. Next, Bishop had an opportunity to move to California to work for Disney's Imagineering. He would be writing the software that was used by developers to track the building of thrill-seeker riders like Space Mountain. Always moving forward, he worked for the coding industry, the automotive industry, on software used to screen new employees, and more. When Microsoft opened a call center in Arizona in 1995, he went to work for his favorite company for the first time. Until then, he had been using Arctic Business Vision, JAWS for DOS, and 80-cell Braille display that made layout entirely feasible for a blind person. Windows was introduced shortly before his 1995 job with Microsoft began, so he was excited to learn Windows and the program he supported, Microsoft Access. Co-workers and supervisors were quick to help him innovate and problem solve, always working around accessibility issues. Sometimes, he recalls, he was able to perform necessary tasks in Access faster than the sighted customer he was coaching. In 2001, he had an opportunity to go to work for the University of Arizona, a job that would hold him longer than any previous rung on his career ladder. At the University of Arizona, Bishop became an IT analyst, working on student information systems and learning management systems. Most tools were fully accessible. When technological barriers meant his career was temporarily thrown into disruption, he was moved to work on a fully accessible platform called Desire to Learn. Even beyond the work environment, Bishop has found generous support. As professional and advocacy opportunities required that he do more public speaking, he enrolled in Toastmasters to polish his skills. Like most people blind from birth, gestures and facial expressions were not instinctive for him. Sighted people do things with their hands, their eyes, their faces to help communicate ideas, he says, that we as blind people aren't always aware of. Toward the goal of learning those visual nuances, he recalls a time when a fellow Toastmaker stood behind him while he delivered a speech in order to coach him through newly learned gestures. And at that point, he talked about moving to Washington. Bishop says that his 16 years at the University of Arizona were great years, but in 2017, he was offered the opportunity to work for what many in his field might see as a career pinnacle, Microsoft. He and his wife moved to Kirkland, Washington in July of 2017. Bishop is totally blind, has always worked, and is currently at the top of his game. In his new role as program director on the Microsoft Windows accessibility team, he explored and innovated ideas that benefited blind and low vision computer users everywhere. He attributed his success to 1, parents who believed in his abilities, 2, learning to read and write Braille, and 3, always being surrounded by people who were supportive of his work and willing to innovate and collaborate when workarounds were needed. And if something doesn't work for him, a form isn't accessible, for example, he explains to others. I try to do it gently and clearly, and something accessible to me makes me more effective, but it makes other members of my team more effective as well. It's important to be careful and to be kind. Bishop is effusive with gratitude for the mentors and giants who paved the way, as well as for the sighted coworkers who work alongside him. I've always been so lucky to work with tremendous, amazing people. I am so thankful for that. What he doesn't say is that his own nature goes a long way toward enlisting that appreciated support from others. He clearly learned at an early age to give as well as take, to teach and encourage others to innovate with him rather than demand. He is generous with his time, giving back by advocating for other blind people in his role as board member of the American Council of the Blind, or making online presentations to share information that might enhance the lives of other people. His easy manner and affability are a winning combination that entices others to engage in problem solving with him, and are qualities that aspiring blind professionals in any field would do well to emulate. Bishop loves his job, and the rest of us will undoubtedly benefit from the talent he brings to enhancing computer accessibility. This article was made possible in part by generous funding from the James H. and Alice Tubart Charitable Trust in Huntington, West Virginia. Now it's time to take you from closer to home to around the world. And we're talking about some very great motivational and inspirational stories coming from different parts of Africa and places as such as that. So here we go. Salingu got some wonderful news, and Salingu is from Tanzania. 3 years ago, Salingo's good fortune began to fade. His vision was failing, and he was desperate. Getting around the countryside is hard when you can't see. With no car and one bus a day, he couldn't get to the doctor on his own. When it rained, he couldn't get anywhere because the dirt roads flooded. One of his children had to quit farming and stay home to take care of him. He felt isolated and helpless. His children heard that an eye screening team would be visiting the area at the Siva Supported Hospital in Singida, Tanzania. He received cataract surgery to restore his sight. At last, he could see his grandson's face. And if I didn't mention, these stories are coming from SIGA.org. Moving on to India, Sasaria. Sasaria has a bright future ahead of her. Sasaria is one of the many technicians who are now financially independent because of Siva's Vision Center program. Just a few years ago, she was an orphan living in Hyderabad, India. She wanted to pursue higher education, but had no one to help her pay for it. One day, she went to the L.V. Prasad Eye Institute to get her eyes checked. While there, she asked for a job. The staffer who examined her told her about the free technician course. So Saria took the entrance exam, and you guessed it, she passed. After she completed the one-year course, she had a stable, well-paying job at the Vision Center and a job that helped improve the lives of people in her community. Saria says, if I had not gone to the hospital and done the course, my studies would have stopped. I am so happy I can now stand on my own feet. Now to Burundi. Milka has a bright future ahead of her. 3-year-old Milka lives in a village in a small war-torn country of Burundi, just south of Rwanda. When Milka started walking at age one, she didn't progress the way most children do and kept bumping into things. An outreach worker told Milka's mother about a Siva-supported eye clinic in Bujumbura, Burundi's largest city. Her mother had never traveled to the city, but she put Milka in her fanciest dress and made the journey at the eye clinic. Milka was seen by Dr. Levi Kendeki, Burundi's sole pediatric ophthalmologist, who relies on NGOs like Siva to provide funding so he can take care of the many children with vision problems, but whose families cannot afford eye care. Thanks to the generosity of donors like you, Milka was diagnosed with severe nearsightedness and received a pair of pretty pink eyeglasses that correct her vision. Milka would be able to attend kindergarten this fall and make the most of her education with clear vision. Now moving to Guatemala. Isibio. Helping a hero. Isibio Kyle Ichich, a dedicated husband and father, has worked as a firefighter in Guatemala for more than 16 years. A few years ago, he noticed his vision started to fade. Isibio had cataracts in each eye, a devastating problem for a firefighter. As he did not have access to proper vision care, he could not find treatment. His supervisors demoted him, first transferring him to a desk job fielding phone calls, then making him a janitor when his eyesight became too impaired for that. When his vision deteriorated further, they simply fired him. Fortunately, ECBU heard of a civil partner hospital, the Vincent Eye Clinic. Thanks to the generosity of the donors there, he received surgeries on both eyes. After a quick, safe, and inexpensive procedure, he could see, in his own words, as good as new again. When ECBO regained his sight, he also regained a sense of purpose. Today, he is back to serving his community and saving lives as, you guessed it, a firefighter. In Uganda, Molly, what a difference new glasses can make. Molly Adam arrived at the eye screening camp in the village of Amalator in northern Uganda after hearing about it on the radio, and a friend recommended she attend the camp. Unable to read or write due to compromised vision since 2013, Molly couldn't tear her eyes away. Let me say that again. Molly couldn't tear her eyes away from the laminated paper patients received to test their prescription drug eye exams. After Molly was fitted for glasses, she had an unwavering smile across her face and told SIVA staff, "I am very grateful. I am very happy now. I can now see. I can now read." In Guatemala, Wendy, "It is much easier now to read, to run, and play. I can jump. I am happy." A very nervous mother brought her 9-year-old daughter, Wendy, to a screening camp in rural Guatemala. Wendy had traumatic cataract caused by an injury to her eye at age 4. After cataract surgery, she was fitted with a pair of prescription glasses. Wendy's follow-up exam showed that her vision had come back nicely and the surgery had been a great success. With vision restored, Wendy can now see clearly and is excited to be returning to school where her favorite subject is math. Wendy's future has been transformed thanks to SIVA services. Himalaya, Sunga and his daughters. In a remote area of Himalaya, a man named Sunga had 4 daughters. All of them were blind from cataracts. The single father faced a heartbreaking decision. He can only afford to bring 3 of the girls to the SIVA eye camp for cataract removal. The youngest daughter insisted that her older sisters get treatment, but once left home alone, she broke down and wept. Upon learning that there was another blind daughter, a SIVA staff member hired a motorcycle to travel the 75 kilometers to find her and bring her to the camp. At the SIVA eye camp, all 4 sisters received cataract surgery. Nothing could take the smiles off their faces of the hope they felt for the first time in their lives. India, Abdul. 3 years ago, Abdul's eyesight began to fade and he eventually went blind. As a tailor, he could not work or support his family. A SIVA outreach camp in rural West Bengal, India, found cataracts in both eyes. He was able to have the surgery that restored his vision. That was just the beginning of his incredible story. He wanted to help others, so when he returned home, he spread the word about his success. Amazingly, Abdul gathered 18 people from his community and brought them to the hospital where he would receive surgery on his other eye, and his friends would also have their sight restored as well. Nepal, Babati, Maya, and Ganga. All had been blind and now all could see. Barbada stared at the concrete ceiling. She tried to stay calm and still. A doctor gently touched her shoulder and told her everything would be okay. And then in just 15 minutes, it was over. Barbada, once blind, had received the life-changing cataract surgery that restored her sight. The next morning, Barbada stood under the soaring pine trees of a Nepali mountainside. She was with Maya, her elderly mother-in-law, and Ganga, her 23-year-old daughter. All 3 women had been blind. Now they could all see. For so many years, these three women from three generations of the same family suffered the burden of blindness. The change to their lives was miraculous. Barbara, Maya, and Ganga can now live their lives to their full potential. Tanzania, Edina. She could see her husband smiling from across the room. Edina Mogi began losing her vision in 2012. She and her husband owned a restaurant in central Tanzania, but they were forced to close it because she could no longer work. Her son stayed home from school to help with her basic tasks, and her husband took on the responsibilities of cooking and caring for their children. After years of searching for help, Edina learned about a SIVA-supported screening camp in rural Tanzania. The cause of Edina's blindness was cataract. Transported to the regional hospital, a simple 15-minute surgery restored her sight. The morning after surgery, Edna could see clearly for the first time in years. The family reopened their restaurant, and their lives have been forever transformed. And of course, we'll bring you more stories from around the world with motivation and inspiration next month. And before we go, one last story from Stevens, the blind boy. It's an inspirational story. A blind boy sat on the steps of a building with a hat by his feet. He held up a sign which said, "I am blind, please help." There were only a few coins in his hat. A man was walking by. He took a few coins from his pocket and dropped them into the hat. He then took the sign, turned it around, and wrote some words. He put the sign back so that everyone who walked by would see the new words. Soon, that hat began to fill up. A lot more people were giving money to the blind boy. That afternoon, the man who had changed the sign came to see how things were. The boy recognized his footsteps and asked, "Were you the one who changed my sign this morning? What did you write?" The man said, "I only wrote the truth. I said what you said, but in a different way." What he had written was, "Today is a beautiful day, and I cannot see it." Do you think the first sign and the second sign were saying the same thing? Of course, both signs told people the boy was blind, but the first sign simply said the boy was blind. The second sign told people they were so lucky that they were not blind. Should we be surprised that the second sign was more effective? Moral of the story, be thankful for what you have. Be creative, be innovative, think differently and positively. Invite others towards good with wisdom. Live a life with no excuse and love with no regrets. When life gives you 100 reasons to cry, show life that you have 1,000 reasons to smile. Face your past without regret. Handle your present with confidence. Prepare for the future without fear. Keep the faith and drop the fear. Great men say life has to be an incessant process of repair and reconstruction, of discarding evil and developing goodness. In the journey of life, if you want to travel without fear, you must have the ticket of a good conscience. The most beautiful thing is to see a person smiling, and even more beautiful is knowing that you are the reason behind it. We've run out of time for this edition of Connect to Success. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill, for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Connect to Success is available as podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-513-8. 919-832-5138. Until next time, I see you.